Okay, so we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to look at a verse in a minute, but if you've seen any news this past week or two, I don't know, I'm sure everyone's kind of caught something or other, then you may have noticed that people in this nation seem to be increasingly unhappy. Seems to be a lot of discontent around the place. We've got demonstrations, protests, riots maybe, calls for civil war, calls for calm. It seems to be everyone's angry with someone, and there seems to be many options for who's to blame. These are the ones that I could think of when I wrote these notes, okay? So it depended on which side you seem to align with. The candidates include this Tommy Robinson, apparently. Far-right thugs is what some people call them. Brexit, apparently, is to blame. Online disinformation spreaders. The racist police. The racist Brits. Or Keir Starmer. Tony Blair, even. Two-tier policing, you might have heard of that one, the mainstream media, immigrants, illegal immigrants, Muslims, anyone non-white or anyone who's non-minimum, probably third-generation British or something, right? And although, look, some of these scapegoats may have their merits, some of them, okay, so don't misquote me there, and you could think of a few, the obvious standout being the hordes of Muslims along with their paedophile gangs all over the nation. That stuff's not made up. I mean, that's pretty horrendous what's been going on over the years. If we're going to follow suit, okay, if we're really going to simplify it, because people just love to simplify. Everyone loves their scapegoat, don't they? This is the problem, this is the reason. People like a nice soundbite like that, like they've solved it. It's because of these people, this person, this situation. If we're going to simplify it, okay, for who's ultimately to blame for the state of the UK, for me, it's therefore none of the above list, okay? If we really want to simplify it, we want to find a scapegoat. Let's get a scapegoat. Everyone loves a scapegoat, don't they? Let's get a scapegoat. Who's to blame? Well, the title this morning of my sermon is Who's Really to Blame for the State of the UK? Who is really to blame for the state of the UK? And on that, I'm gonna go to the Lord in prayer before we get started. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for, how you make it clear in your word, Lord, as to, who takes responsibility for things in life, Lord, for different areas of life. And Lord, help me to preach this message that I've been thinking about over the last week or two now, just in a clear way, Lord, in a way that people will want to apply it, Lord, will understand it, will not be offended by it as well, Lord, and just use it to be edified, use it to improve in these areas and to understand it, and not just constantly find a way of pointing the finger at people, but to really understand ultimately what this is about. And Lord, help me to preach this clearly, accurately and boldly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so who's really to blame for the state of the UK? For me, the buck has to stop at leadership. So in general in life, the buck stops at leadership. Now, it's not to say that other people don't have personal responsibility, okay? It's not that leaders are responsible for everyone's individual choices, but ultimately the buck stops at leadership. Now, before you march off to 10 Downing Street, I want to explain a couple of principles in life, okay? National government, and we looked at this in the book of Isaiah recently, okay? National government is usually some sort of reflection of a nation. Usually, okay, we see that in the Bible with God's nation, okay, and obviously from Israel to then the southern kingdom of Judah, a lot of the time the king will reflect the people, okay, so often he'll be talking about that king and then interchangeably with the people as a whole being given over to idolatry, for example, and other such like things. So often the leader you have will be a reflection of the nation, and I explained this recently when we're going through Isaiah, that the pervading culture of a nation will influence a king or leading politician throughout their life. You know, I gave the example of, I don't know, if our monarchy in this nation was actually, you know, at least publicly in charge, I mean, different people have different theories for how much power they have, then Prince William, who then becomes King William, if anyone thinks that he's not going to be influenced by the culture he's grown up in, well, you'd be crazy, right? He's going to be some reflection of the culture that he's grown up in, that he's lived in, that he's been taught by to some degree. So a lot of the time, a leader, and that's the same with a politician, they're at least some sort of product of the culture they've grown up in. Okay, they're a lot of the time a result of that. Now, on top of that, we live under a democratic political system where 9.7 million people apparently voted for a Labour candidate a few weeks ago. So not nearly 10 million people voted for a Labour candidate in their area. And then
But keep a finger here, okay? Keep a finger here because we're going to be coming back here. And turn to Luke 22, Luke chapter 22, because added to that is the fact that our so-called leaders are influenced by others, okay? So you can't escape this in life. And this is clear in the Bible here. We're going to see this in a couple of verses. You'll turn to Luke 22, but I'd like to quote Matthew 20, verse 25, where Jesus said it like this in Matthew 20, 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, he's talking to his disciples, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. He said that the princes, or we would say maybe the principals, so it's not, he's not talking about like royal princes, okay? The principals, the leaders of the Gentiles, the nations of the world exercise dominion over them, okay? On their people with different kinds of government, and there's varying types of government. However, they that are great, or we might say wealthy, powerful, they exercise authority upon those principals. They're the ones with the authority. They're the ones that exercise the power upon them. Now, if anyone thinks that you know, Keir Starmer or Rishi Sunak previously, Theresa May or Liz Truss were the most powerful people in this nation, you live in a dream world. You just live in a dream world. Your head's buried. Okay, it's nonsense. That they that are great or wealthy, said in Matthew 20, 25, they exercise power, they exercise authority upon those principles. In the Luke account, okay, it gives these influencers, these rich and powerful, a name to help us to understand it. In fact, it gives us a name which should help you to get your head around it a bit more. It says in Luke 22 and verse 25, and he said unto them in Luke 22, 25, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. So there are people that exercise authority on the government, the public face of the nation, who are meant to be leading the nation. There are people that exercise authority upon them, and they are called benefactors. A benefactor is he who confers a benefit, especially one who makes charitable contributions, either for public institutions or for private use. So the people that confer a benefit to these leaders, and whether it's party donations, gifts of various types, brown envelopes of cash, hosting special parties where Gary Glitter plays live and Jimmy Savile fixes it for them to get a first-class flight on Jeffrey Epstein's jet, whatever it is, yeah, you can imagine probably all of these together, these are benefactors. They give them benefits, yeah, which therefore with that, they then exercise authority upon that leadership. And now you might call me a conspiracy theorist, but look, this stuff is just common knowledge. It's just common knowledge. It's not even hidden. I remember preaching a sermon a while ago and just show just open, blatant party donors for the whatever the latest party is. Millions, millions, beyond that. And it's just open gifts and donations and from business leaders, from all these different types of people that then get benefits in return from that political party. Let alone the stuff that goes on behind closed doors, let alone, like I said, all of the whistleblowing accounts and all the things that's been going on and going through the court systems with these perverts and all the stuff that goes on behind closed doors as well. Now, you can bury your head, like I said, like an ostrich, okay? You could just kind of, no, this can't be true, I don't even want to think about it because this is a much easier life to not have to think that these things happen, but it doesn't make it not true. And that's just up to you if you want to do that and pretend that everything's just rosy and we just vote and, you know, and Keir Starmer is somehow the man in charge. I mean, it's madness, okay? So who exactly is the leader for the buck to stop at? Well, go back to 1 Corinthians 11. Isn't the government responsible for our society being what it is? That's what some people like to say, it's the government, it's the Tories, it's Labour, it's whoever, it's the, they're all the same, whatever, right? Well, a national government has some clear functions, okay? The primary one being the maintaining of justice by the punishment of criminals and obviously protection of its civilians from outside invasion, etc., right? Okay, that's a clear role of a government. That's what a government should be doing. And also protection from hazard and harm, you could say, through providing emergency services, things like that. I would say that's a good job for a government to provide. Aside from that, you could add building and maintaining infrastructure, obviously roads, etc., things like that, and organising the funding of all of this. So obviously someone needs to organise that stuff, right? Receive, set the taxes at the right level to be able to afford and pay for these things. Now, after that, it's debatable as to what other areas government should have much involvement in. And that's open to debate, and I'm not going to go into that in this service, okay? So if the government is a reflection of our society, who seem happy for it to be openly controlled by benefactors, most people just seem to be content with that, they don't even care that it's common knowledge, a society that seems relatively happy with the lax punishment of wrongdoing, okay? Because, yeah, we have some pretty lenient laws in certain areas, not in others, right? So who's therefore to blame them for our society? Who are the leaders in our society? Because really the government doesn't lead our society. The government shouldn't and doesn't really have the choice to create a culture. What is our society a collection of? I'll tell you what it's a collection of. It's a collection of families. Or the Bible might say houses. That's what society is. It's a collection of families. Now, they might not all live in the same house, but it's a collection, it's a group of families in a nation which are then, they become a society, don't they? It's a society of people, of families, of different houses, okay? Well, back in 1 Corinthians 11, we see a very simple leadership structure for society. 1 Corinthians 11, 3 says it like this. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is a man, and head of Christ is God. So there's a leadership structure there. God, through the Apostle Paul, said that there's a clear leadership structure in life. At the top is God the Father, with God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, willingly submitting to that hierarchy, as we see in the Bible explained to us. Then it's a man, and in the home, that's the man of the house, the husband, okay, with his wife and then his children coming after that in the hierarchy. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Like it or not, that's just how God ordained it. So whether you like it or not, whether you've had your life being, you know, poisoned by feminist brainwash or not, that's just how it's clear in the Bible, okay? Clear as you like. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. One of a few places where the Bible spells this out, okay? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And rather than something to be proud of, okay, as men, because you haven't achieved anything there, you didn't achieve being a man, you were just born a man, it's actually a massive responsibility. It's a huge responsibility that we need to take seriously as men. Then after the husband, next in charge is the wife. So boys out there, any young men out there growing up or anything else, okay, you're to submit to your mums. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Parents, okay, you're to obey your parents. And in an ideal world, that would be until you move out and marry. In an ideal world, that's how I see kind of that would be God's design. Genesis 2:24 says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and there shall be one flesh. So in an ideal world, you'd raise your sons and daughters. When they meet someone and get to the point where they're ready to marry, that's when they'd move. And then at that point, that boy then is in a leadership position when he becomes that man and he becomes a leader of his home. But until then, he's under the leadership of his father, so is a daughter, until she becomes under the leadership of her husband. So you've got God the Father, God the Son, and then the man of the house. Guess which of those is failing in our society? Because I tell you what, God's not failing. He's doing everything he said he'd do. The Lord Jesus Christ isn't failing. Okay, he's doing everything he says he'll do. It's a man that's failing. It's men that are failing. It's the leader of the home that's failing. The leaders of our society. They're the leaders. Now, don't get me wrong. People will go, oh, well, no, you don't understand because this popular person is a leader. The mainstream media is leading. No, they're not. They're not. They're giving an option and people can make them leaders in society. Or they can lead their homes like they're supposed to do. And men are supposed to lead. They're the leaders in society. Because no one has charge over your family. No one should have control over your family. The buck stops at leadership. Now, some might say, well, maybe it's the women's fault. Okay, maybe it's the women's fault. They're not letting themselves, you know, be led. They're not letting these men lead. Well, sure, if those husbands, if those fathers were doing it right, okay, if they were leading how they're supposed to, but they're not. They're not, okay? The mess that this nation is in is due to those leaders of homes across the nation failing miserably. That's the truth of it, failing miserably. Now, you might say, well, what has that man down the road got to do with those Muslim immigrants? Because they're, kind of, you know, all these Muslim immigrants being sent in. What's the man down the road got to do with that? That leader of that home? What has the dad across the street got to do with people burning police stations? He's got nothing to do with him. What are you talking about? It was dads down the road that raised the brainwashed liberals that supported the influx of swathes of Muslim immigrants. It was dads that raised those people. It was dads across the street that abandoned their kids long before they were turning up in balaclavas thinking, well, this is fun, let's burn some things. It was dads who were in charge. They're the leaders in society. If you think that all of the UK's problems would be solved if they deported the Muhammad worshippers, you're crazy. They're not going to suddenly solve everything. Yeah, don't get me wrong, okay? Look, that's a separate sermon, okay? The Muslims, look, that is a scourge, okay? That is a problem. They're a dangerous group because they worship a paedophile, okay? However, getting rid of them, there's just going to be other problems. If you think that all the UK's problems would be solved with a new government, you're crazy as well. The new government isn't solving the failings of leadership across this nation. Now, those things might help it. You know, don't get me wrong, a new government probably would help a little, all right? But none of that will stop the across-the-board parenting failures in this nation. It's not going to solve it. The joke parenting that we're seeing will just continue to rise, and it will just continue to get worse. Nothing stops it. It's getting worse. Look, and I know that's cliche, but believe me, it's getting worse and worse and worse. I see these parents. I'm around these parents, you know, in different areas, different places, and it just gets worse. It's astounding sometimes how bad it is. There were children the other evening in Southend running at each other with swords. Okay, they weren't knives, they were swords. Running at each other with swords, trying to chop each other up in the middle of Southend. Now, keep a finger here and turn to Proverbs 22. Now, I said children because I prefer to get my definitions from the Bible, which sees 20 plus as an adult, okay? They're kids. They were kids, teenage kids running around with swords. And I'm not, look, all this voting ages, boozing ages. No, I'd let the Bible define that. It's 20 plus as an adult. What do you think they were trying to kill and maim each other for? Anyone like wonder that? What was it that was so serious that they were looking to chop each other up and kill each other? Probably which group is tougher or something like that. I doubt they'd even got to the point where they were making that much money from their pathetic drug dealing, where it actually even mattered. It's probably just toughness, trying to be cool, and the rest of it, it just escalated to the point of they're bringing their swords along, right? It's pathetic. Those kids, shall I tell you what those kids are? They're a massive parenting failure. That's really what it comes to. Who's to blame? Who's ultimately responsible for children? Their parents. Who's to blame for them? Their dads. Their dads are a disgrace, an absolute disgrace. Why are your teenagers getting the train to Southend with swords in their trousers? I mean, what on earth? What are you doing? Why are your kids, why are they going out the house with swords tucked in their trousers going down to Southend? That's a dad failure all day long. That is a massive dad failure, isn't it? Now, it's not because of their skin colour, because of, you know, some will say how many generations they've been a so-called Brit, because that's really what it comes down to, doesn't it? Well, how many generations does qualify as a Brit? Because let's be honest, if you go too many generations, no one's a Brit, okay? Like, none of that. It's just like, there's got so many holes in that anyway, you could debunk that so much. Ultimately, the buck stops at fathers. The buck stops at fathers in this nation, given a huge responsibility as the head of their homes, and they're failing miserably, okay? Now, some will go, well, it's the brainwash, though, okay? They'll go, but it's the brainwash. It's the music. It's that drill music. And that drill music is some wicked music. Agreed, yeah? It's the hip-hop. And that hip-hop is some wicked music, and most of the hip-hop artists are sodomites, okay? And it's a pretty wicked bunch, right? However, since when was that stuff compulsory? Anyone had a gun put to their head recently to listen to that junk? It's not compulsory. Who lets their kids listen to that stuff? If you let your kids listen to that music, you are an idiot. You're beyond an idiot. You're wicked. If you allow the kids that are under your authority in your home to sit there and listen to that sort of stuff being literally drilled into their head, you're a complete idiot and you're responsible. They're children. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Of course they're going to choose that rubbish without you actually there to help them and to guide them and to ban them from putting that stuff on. If you let your kids play half of those computer games, you're an idiot. If you let your kids play computer games where they're running around chopping people up, where they're running around shooting, I mean, some of that stuff's pretty realistic now, isn't it? And they're just staring at that all day, every day, shooting, killing, chopping, cutting, maiming, Oh, I just can't work out why they're running down the road with a sword in their hands. It's just, it's not complicated, is it? Did I tell you to turn to Proverbs 22? Turn to Proverbs 22. Keep a finger here, though. Sorry, and turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So how about the dads out there take their job seriously? How about that? They just say, yeah, look, we're told to train our children. Regardless, if you believe in God or not, it's pretty obvious. You have a child, what do you need to do? Train your child. If you didn't train your kids, well, they'd still be saying goo goo gaga, wouldn't they? They're being you need to train them. You need to teach them. You need to teach them to do many things. You need to teach them to behave properly and to be a part of society, a healthy part of society. And let me tell you how you train your child up to be some gang member wannabe loser. By letting them listen to gang member wannabe losers all day, every day on their headphones or in their rooms or wherever they are and whatever they're doing, that's a pretty sure way to train them up to be a gang member loser who's serenading them all day, every day. And I just can't work out why my kid's acting like this. They're literally being serenaded by gang member wannabe losers. I mean, what on earth? What do you expect's going to happen? Let me tell you how you train your child up to think that hacking people up with swords and machetes is a fun day out. That's a good evening out. By letting them play realistic computer games all day where they're hacking up people with swords and machetes all day and the rest of it. It's not rocket science, is it? It's pretty simple stuff. Keep a finger here in Proverbs and turn to 1 Corinthians 16. Some say, well, they do what they want to do. I just can't stop them. Some parents say that, don't they? Well, I just can't stop them. It's out of my hands. How can I prevent them? Do you know what I would say to a dad that would say something like that? I'd say, man up, you little sissy. You little queer. You honestly can't stop your kids. You can't stop a teenager. I mean, if you say, teenagers are all skin and bones. And if they're not, you're feeding them wrong. It's like, what, you can't stop your teenager? What's wrong with you? How about you grip them up and you lock them up? How about if you have to, you tie them up? You don't let them run down the street with swords down their stupid trousers at halfway down their bums. You know what they should do? Stop drinking pints of estrogen in the pub and man up. And man up and go, this is my family. I'm in charge. I'm not letting my son behave like this. How about that? Instead of worshipping queers like Andrew Tate. I mean, that guy's meant to be manly, apparently. I mean, what on earth? The guy sits there like a queer. He sits there like this, doesn't he? Yeah. It's like that's the manliest guy we've got, is it? This is like the hero of men, and they're like so manly. It's like, what on earth? How about be like God wants you to be? And in 1 Corinthians 16:13, he says to the Christian, yeah, to the manly Christian, he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. That's how God wants men to behave, to quit them like men, to behave like men, to be strong. Not some limp, liberal little pushover. I just can't stop my kids. What on earth? How sad is that, right? Man up and train your child up, and he won't be running around with a knife in his trousers. In his trousers are halfway down, looking like some sort of weirdo serial killer. Can you imagine running around with the trousers down their knees with a knife? I mean, it's sick. But he also won't be setting cars on fire. Because, look, that's one side of it. He also won't be setting cars on fire or modelling himself on some idiot, some absolute moron that risks life and limb fighting other idiots on a Saturday afternoon. Honestly, this is what these guys do. While representing their rip-off foreign-owned football club with their team full of foreigners, claiming that somehow they represented their firm or something. I mean, it's just madness, isn't it? I mean, that's like you got all those idiots as well. And that's what half of those idiots are turning up to destroy what maybe this stuff would have been like fairly normal protesting, saying, look, this Muslim immigration's out of control. Instead, you've got a load of morons there trying to burn things and smash people and throw things at police. The whole thing's a complete mess, isn't it? And who's to blame? Their parents, their dads. How do you train them? Well, back in Proverbs 29:15, back in Proverbs 29 and verse 15, it says it like this. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. 29:15 of the book of Proverbs says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So first off, you do the training. You don't blame the school. Oh, it's the schools. They don't punish them. Why aren't you punishing them? It's not the school's job to punish them. You punish them. And by the way, he said, but a child left to himself. And a child going to school is left to himself, really. Sadly. I mean, you got to the point where you got 30-something kids in a class with one teacher. That's a child being left to himself. So is a child sat in front of the TV. That's a child left to himself. So is a child sat in front of the PlayStation. That's a child. In fact, it's worse. They're really left to the synagogue of Satan. Really. In fact, you're not just leaving them to themselves. They'd be better off if they were just sitting in a room staring at a wall. They might go a little bit mad. But instead, you're just shoving them in front of all these wicked games on the PlayStations, on the Xboxes, shoving them in front of the TV. I mean, he's making most of that stuff. It's wickedness. And you're choosing to do that. That's what these parents out there are doing. You go, I just can't work out why they behave like this. It's society. It's the government. It's the immigrants. It's that. No, it's you. Thou art the man. He said, punish them and tell them off if you want them to be wise. Okay, don't just punish them and don't tell them why they're being punished. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Okay, and this is pretty standard universal beliefs, isn't it? I mean, that's just been standard throughout history that people have punished their children, instructed them and helped them to behave. Okay, that's standard stuff. Oh no, but we know so much better now. Look at the state of the place. But here's the thing. You don't need your government telling you, oh no, you need to put them on naughty spots and you need to not punish them, okay? You still make that choice. Okay, and if you choose not to give that rod and reproof, you're in the wrong, and ultimately that comes down to the leader of the family, doesn't it? Amen. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So it's not complicated. Now, some might say, yeah, but those poor dads aren't involved. Okay, some say this, yeah. Now, about that, okay, let me tell you the usual reason, and I'm saying the usual reason for that. So look, some people might be on the wrong side of this for other reasons, but this is the usual, this is the general reason in this nation for the poor dads not being involved. Number one, dad was a whoremonger. Okay, that's kind of general reason number one. Dad was a whoremonger, okay? Dad basically got mum pregnant and then went and started sleeping around with other women. That's often the case. And dad never married her in the first place. That's number one. Number two, dad abandoned his wife. Dad did get married. Then he jogged her on. Then he went and found someone else and left the kid to be raised by just their mum and had nothing to do or very little to do with that child. Or number three, dad chose a whore who abandoned him. Okay? Oh, and guess who's partly to blame that dad was a whoremonger? Partly to blame. Because let's not take the responsibility off dad. His dad. His dad who raised him, the leader of his family. Guess who's partly to blame that dad abandoned his wife and his kids? His dad. Guess who's partly to blame that dad chose a whore? His and her dad. Because why is he choosing? Why is his dad giving him the blessing and training him up to choose a whore? And why is she a whore? Because of her dad. Because here's some irony for you, okay? You've got all these guys understandably angry about the Muslim paedophiles, okay? And look. Sure, you're going to be angry about that, okay? That is a wicked religion where they're basically their hero, their prophet, the guy that they think is the guy that gave the extra biblical revelation, the guy that they name their children out of, the guy that they think is sinless, is a paedophile. Muhammad is a paedophile. Everyone knows it, okay? That is a wicked religion. But you've got these people so angry about the Muslim paedophiles, but then instead of protecting their daughters, they leave them to themselves, a child left to themselves, dressed like literal harlots. So you've got all these guys going, I'll just see these Muslims, get these Muslims out, quick, let's throw some stones, get them. While your daughter's running around dressed like a harlot. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, sending them off to people like that to be around them. Just sending them off, they go where they want, do what they want. Well, let's hope, those Muslims, can't believe it. So why don't you take some responsibility yourself as well? Train your child, look after your children. Don't let them walk out the house dressed like most of these kids do. Kids, children. Here's another irony for you. You got these guys understandably angry about benefits claiming immigrants. Yeah, sure, you can understand they're going, look, like, what on earth? You know, you just got people we don't even know who, you know, they're pulling them in to claim benefits, right? But half of those complaining are claiming benefits. Riddle me that. It's like, I can't believe they're getting it. And it's like they're claiming the benefits. Like they've decided that only they deserve to live off taxpayers like us. Oh no, it's only okay for them to live off the taxpayer. Anyone else? Scum, wicked. My Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we're with you, this we command you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. If anyone would what? Now, he didn't say any could not work, any would not work. Anyone who just chooses not to work, neither should he eat. Now, I don't care where you come from, okay? Unless you're physically or mentally unable to do any job, you should be trying your utmost to get a job. You should be trying your utmost, doing your utmost. If you're unemployed, you should be spending 40 hours plus a week looking for a job. More so. But back to those uninvolved dads, okay? Aside from the very rare cases, guess who's to blame? Them. It's men that have failed in leading their homes, have failed to lead godly wives, to lead godly daughters, okay, to raise godly sons. It's them that have failed to defend them from the liberal brainwash, from the filthy music, from the booze, from the drugs, from the school. It's them. They failed. They're the heads in society. These same guys protesting immigrants have got their daughters running around in next to nothing. Their sons playing gangster and they're sending them off to teen drink and drug parties so they can get smashed in the pub. That's kind of culture in this. That's kind of British culture. Oh, we need to keep British culture. And look, I get it. Yeah, I get it with like, especially with the Muslim stuff. I get it with that sort of stuff. But what, like, how about we actually start at home and start sorting out your homes? Sort out your houses, sort out your families. Amen. You say you're generalising. Yeah, but you know what? It is bad out there, isn't it? It is bad. Like, you'd have to have your eyes shut to not see how bad it is. What a disgrace it really is out there. And I'll tell you why it's so bad. Because of the sorry excuses men for this in this nation. They are sorry excuses for men across the board. It's that bad. That spend more time with the mirror than their kids. There's a lot of men out there, aren't there, that just spend more time in front of the mirror than those children that they've happened to sire with some poor woman. That abandon their families for some harlot. That neglect their kids whilst chasing money. And that are too soft to stand up and say no to their children. Because that's what it comes down to, doesn't it? Men who can't just stand up and say no. No, you're not happy. I don't care if you cry. I don't care if you have a tantrum. I don't care if you kick off. I don't care if you say you're not going to talk to me or whatever else. No. No. How hard is that? And that has been going on for decades. And that's why we're where we're at. That's what it's about. That's why we're surrounded by feminists. By weirdos, by raging liberals, because dad didn't give them a spanking. Should have smacked that out of them. Really, that's what it comes down to, because dad didn't just go, no. Where did you get that rubbish from? Where did you get that brainwash from? No, we're cancelling it. No, it's gone. No, I'm not having you getting destroyed. It's dad's there to blame. There's always, look, throughout history, there will always be the influences. There are people that want to destroy you. The devil has always wanted to poison you and your family. It's for the dad, it's for the man of the house to say no. So what can we do about it? What's the answer with all that in mind? Turn to 2 Chronicles 7. Do we go and protest outside people's homes? Bring out your dads. Bring them out. Got some bricks to throw at them or something. Is that the answer? Yeah. For some mob chastening. We've got one taker. Well, in 2 Chronicles 7, okay, Solomon had just finished building the house of God, okay, in 2 Chronicles 7. Look at verse 12. It says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I've heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, of course, the primary application here was God's nation at that point in time, okay? You obviously, we're not going to pretend, oh, he's just saying, you know, that just anyone, any land, anything else. But I do believe that you could still apply this to where God's people are concentrated around his house. Here it's on the back of just building the house of God, and he's saying, right, if my people do this, I think you can apply that to people today, especially to an area. Does it mean a whole nation? Maybe it could be, but especially an area concentrated around his house. If we had house of God all over this nation, I think you could definitely apply this to the nation. But you can at least to an area. Out of interest, have they had any riots or anything going on in Southend, aside from the machete chopping incident? I don't think there's been any police being burnt recently. No? Looking good. Okay, keep up the good work, everyone. Okay, but he said here, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, will heal their land. And neglecting children, okay, abandoning family, sacrificing your children for some idol of yours are all wicked ways. They're wicked ways. We as God's people need to get right in this area and then lead by example too. So we need to make sure we're right in this area. Then we need to lead by example in this area. And you may be surprised, I believe, at the knock-on effect you could have on those around you. Okay, you really can. And you go, well, look, what are we? We're a church of, you know, what, you know, 70 on a busier Sunday or something like that. You know, what does that mean? What sort of effect could we have? Look, they might not all end up doing exactly what you do. But you, your family, your friends see, for example, just your daughter's just dressed normally. Who's to say that, okay, maybe they won't go that far, but maybe they'll be like, yeah, actually, what's wrong with actually covering up my kids a bit and not dressing them like the local harlot? Maybe they'll see your sons just not listening to gangster rap and drill and whatever else, whatever it is. You can name anything. Go across the heavy metal. You know, like swinging some stupid girly haircut around or something else. Like whatever it is. They might see your sons aren't doing that stuff and they seem pretty content. They seem pretty happy. They seem pretty all right. Yeah, maybe I won't cut it out completely, but I might just kind of go to something a bit less offensive. Maybe I'll ban this. So you don't know what effect you can really have. People are influenced by those around you. You can at least raise that bar of decency so then the midpoint is somewhere a bit healthier. They may be more likely to say no to their kids if they see you saying no to your kids. If they see just normal biblical discipline, to find alternatives to TV and computer games. So yeah, my kids don't just sit there going like this all day, every day. And when they do see you, when family, friends, people just see your kids and I'll talk to them, so what's your favourite computer game? And I don't really play that stuff, you know, or, you know, whatever you decide your line is with that. Maybe they might start to open their eyes a little bit. Go back to Ephesians 6, where there's a short but simple command for fathers, okay? Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 1 says it like this. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, okay, here we go, fathers. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So he said, don't provoke them to wrath, but. Okay, and the but indicates that this is, I believe, at least part of how you don't provoke them to wrath. So rather than him saying not to wind them up, okay, that's not what he's saying. He's saying we avoid the wrath by bringing them up in both the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If it's the nurture and admonition of the world, they're going to be wrathful. So you give them the nurture and admonition of the world's parenting, you're going to have children fuming, wrathful about sexism, about, you know, the feminist stuff and all that. Because let's be honest, they're always angry, aren't they? All the feminists out there are fuming, livid, so angry, wrathful. They'll be wrathful about racism from whatever side, because that's all you ever hear from everyone now. Everyone's a racist, everything's because of racism, everything's racism. They're just so angry about it. Then it'll be like sizeism, ageism. You name it, you know, intellectualism. Just everyone's got something to be angry at because that's how the world teaches them to be angry, to have some campaign and something that's their thing rather than being content with life, the fact that they're even alive. And if it's lopsided, okay, here's the other thing though. If it's all nurture and no admonition, so if it's all love, you know, and comforting and looking after and caring and everything else, but there is no instruction, there is no chastisement, there is no reproof, there is no rebuke, you're going to have a problem. I think you're going to still end up with children that are provoked to wrath. And if it's all admonition and no nurture, so if it's just whoopings every day and there's no nurturing, there's no love, there's no care, there's no actual desiring to see good in your children, it's just all about just giving them a slap, then again, I think you're going to end up provoking your children to wrath. They're going to be wrathful. Turn to Psalm 103. And this is an important point, okay, because some might respond to the world's liberal, softly, softly parenting and it's beyond a joke now, isn't it, how bad it is, by going too far the other way. So some people, they kind of, they, you know, they see this and then they compensate and going too far the other way. We're told to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, of the Lord. So basically the Lord is our, is he's our example for nurture and admonition, isn't he? Well, Psalm 103 and verse 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. So he's slow to anger. He's plenteous in mercy. He pities us. It says in verse 13 of Psalm 103, verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children. That's how a father should behave. So the Lord pitieth them that fear him. So we should have pity for our children. We should be plenteous in mercy. So it's not just, right, smash them. You know, spankings all day, every day. Might as well just smack their bums when they get up in the morning. They must have done something wrong. They're going to do something wrong anyway. Let's just like whip them into the evening, because that's how you get a, that's how you get a good child, don't you? Because the world's got it all wrong. Yeah, no, because then you're not giving them the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Because the Lord is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger. He's plenteous in mercy. He pities his children. Have some pity for your children. Look, foolish, their heart is bound with foolishness. That's just the way it is. Pity them for it. Look, however, with that in mind, you can go too far the other way. Okay, you turn to Proverbs 13. Because there are those that go too far the other way where they get it all wrong, because it's unloving to not chastise your children. It's unloving to not punish your children. Okay? The liberal love yourself more than your child mentality is hateful. Okay, that's a hateful mentality. Not punishing your children is hateful according to the word of God. Proverbs 13, 24 says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. He hates his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, which is early. From early doors. Okay, they need chastisement early. they if you're sparing that rod, you're hating your child. So you can't go, well, I'm just so loving. I just love them too much. I just could never spank the bum of little, you know, whoever it is. Well, you're hateful, because you know what? Usually it's because they love themselves too much. They love themselves. It's all about them. It's all about not wanting to looked in a bad way by poor little, you know, my poor little boy. You know, he's going to look at me in this way or other. No, you need to punish it. And you need to punish your daughters as well. It's both, right? They need chastisement. And often it's because it's easier not to, in their mind. It's easier not to have that upset child, not to have the tantrums, not to have the tears. Kids know how to manipulate very early. It's an unloving thing. It's a hateful thing. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. It's both the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's why Proverbs 3:12, you don't have to turn, it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. If you delight in your children, they need correcting. We're required to do both to get the right balance to love our children. Turn to Genesis 18, Genesis chapter 18. And if we can get it right, okay, hopefully our children can also go on to be well-rounded examples to them around them. That's what we want, don't we? That's our goal, is for our children to grow up to be a well-rounded example to those around them as well, to then have that knock-on effect as well. And also, like we've seen before, if, you know, by your good works, they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. So you're showing that the Word of God is right, the Word of God is true. You're giving, you're validating the Word of God by doing things God's way and getting the fruits of that. Now in Genesis 18, okay, the Lord is about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for being a bunch of filthy Sodomites. He decides to tell Abraham about his plans, okay? Verse 17 says it like this, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? Okay, why? Well, he says here in verse 19, for I know him, that he will command his children, his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice, a judgment that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So the Lord had faith in Abraham commanding his children to keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Now, if we can all be like that, if our children can all be like that, if we could say, look, you know, if God could say, I know that they shall keep the way of the Lord. I know the children of so-and-so in this church will keep the way of the Lord. They shall keep the way of the Lord. In a short time, we really can make a difference then, can't we? Because that's a lot of children already. And as this church grows, as hopefully we plant other churches in the future, that's more and more people influencing more and more people around them, more and more children growing like that. And look, if you're saved, if there's anyone out here or anyone in the future that listens to this and you're saved, you have a responsibility not just to get other people saved, you have a responsibility to raise your children properly. No, children are heritage of the Lord, the fruit of the womb is his reward. Okay? They're his kids. And you have a responsibility to your children. God's blessed you with children. You have a responsibility to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Where you're commanded to do it, we're told to do it. And then with that, we should have a knock-on effect to those around us. We can be that shining light in our families, in our lives. Our kids can go on to do that and hopefully make a difference in this nation. And it's not a quick fix. It's taken a long time to get to this point. It's been going downhill for a long time. Don't think that it's going to suddenly change. You kick out whoever it is that whoever thinks they need to kick out. I don't even know how you kick people out. I don't even know how that works. But whatever they think, that it's not going to suddenly solve their disgrace of the children who are growing up. The kids that they have that are completely off the rails already. It's not going to solve that because they've been going downhill long before the Muslims were brought in en masse by Tony Blair. It's just, look. That stuff's a problem, don't get me wrong, okay? That stuff needs solving, but the problems in this nation are really come down to society, comes down to the leaders of society, and that's the men of their homes. It's men. It's men that have that. And you go, oh, what about, what if the women don't do as they should be doing? Well, then their fathers have failed. And you know, and look, I'm not taking the responsibility off. We still all have personal responsibility. But again, if you as a man and you're raised properly and you go, you choose to marry someone and hopefully you're going to marry someone that you believe you can lead into the things of God and to do the things of God and to be able to live for God. The Lord had faith in Abraham doing that, okay? Go back to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And look, yeah, you know, when it comes to the world, you could say, well, you know, what difference will it really make to them without salvation? It can still make a difference. Do you know why this nation was previously, I believe, prosperous and there had been benefits? It's ultimately the word of God. It's the word of God. Now, they weren't all saved, but there were a lot of principles. A lot of what went on in life was according to some parts of the word of God. A lot of laws were based upon principles from the word of God. A lot of ways of living were based upon that. And that's ultimately what improves the nation and what it all comes down to the word of God. And if we can be an example for living by the word of God, and we can show that and be that shining light, we can affect those around us, and that can have a knock-on effect. It'll be slow, but it comes back to the house of God, doesn't it? It comes back to God's people. The judgment starts at the house of God, really. Go back to 1 Corinthians 11. You're in there, aren't you? 1 Corinthians 11, 3 said, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is a man, the head of Christ is God." It's the head of the home, the man. But if he makes Christ his head, and that's how it should be, it's his. If he allows Christ to be that head that he should be in his home, then things will improve. And it's down to us, really, isn't it? It's down to us. So it's down to men. Like we can make such a difference. We really can in this nation. We really have the ability to do that because, yeah, it might not be next week. It might not be next month. It might not be next year. But 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, we can make a difference. But you know what? The difference isn't being made by burning police stations. So don't go out now and burn South End Police Station. Right? I need that caveat. You never know. Gary's looking a bit. Okay, on that, we're going to finish in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for, well, you know, how you make it clear, Lord, that we ultimately have you know, we have individual liberty within our families to lead our families as we want to you know, to run our homes as we want to, Lord, and help us to get that right. Help your people first to get that right and to show others and to be that shining light to those around us to sort out society by sorting out the home, Lord. Society is a collection of homes. Help us sort out our homes. Help us to protect our families from the negative influences. Help us to understand that ultimately we have that choice to raise them according to the word or raise them according to the world. Help us to raise off our families according to the word, Lord. Help all the men here, help the women here to choose to submit to that leadership, Lord, of those godly men, help those godly men to lead in the right way, Lord, to raise their kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Lord, to love their wives, to be those leaders that you want them to be, Lord, and help us to then have a knock-on effect in this area and around this nation. Lord, help us to start by getting out and getting people saved. Help us to get people saved this afternoon in the soul-winning, Lord, and to return for the evening service. In Jesus' name, pray all of this. Amen.